Praise God. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. There's something good there for us, and it wouldn't take too long to look into. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1. I get a kick out of the little ones. As you look at them, you see them. You know, they're looking all around. I used to do that too. It's a fascinating room, isn't it? You got all these animals looking at you. And then these signs, you know. Holiness unto the Lord. Beautiful. Christ is all and in all. It's been there a long time. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. The one that I like and I see most often is, praise the Lord anyhow. That's great. Praise God. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Have you found out that holiness is something beautiful and not something to be avoided at all costs? Oh, the holiness of man. Their idea of holiness isn't very attractive at all, is it? It's just rules and regulations. Sometimes we get the impression to be holy is to put a t-shirt on when you go swimming and put your hair up in a bun or something. Well, that might be a good expression of holiness, an appropriate expression, and there are reasons why we do all that, but that's not holiness. Holiness is a matter of the heart. Brother Edmund used to say, you know, some of our young people, they dress so proper when they're up at camp, and then as soon as their time is up at camp, they run into the bathroom and they put on their short shorts and then they go right home. Holiness, they left it here at camp, I guess. And he was helping us to understand that's not holiness. Holiness is something in the heart. It's a desire to please Jesus and to separate yourself unto him and unto his service and to get filled with his Holy Spirit. And that will be reflected in the way you dress. There's a sign here. I think we need to repaint that. But it says, holiness becometh thine house. Let us dress and act accordingly. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to honor the Lord in our appearance and the way we dress. We all have different styles of dress, but there are certain rules that are very clear in the Word of God that God wants us to dress modestly. And we don't want to call a whole lot of attention to ourselves and our outward appearance when God wants the greater attention to be called to the inner life and the beauty of Jesus in our hearts. And so those are things that God wants us to get hold of, not just here, not just to do it and live that way here at camp, but all the time. But holiness is something beautiful. The holiness that they saw in the Pharisees and the Sadducees was ugly. They had this attitude, we're holier than you, and so we look down on you. You don't measure up like we do. And they were unapproachable. People didn't want to be around them. They were intimidated by them. And then Jesus came on the scene. And he showed them what real holiness is. And there was something beautiful about the holiness, that life of Jesus. If anybody was holy, it was Christ. And if anybody lived to please God and to obey him from the heart, it was Jesus. But it was something that attracted people to him. The sinners, whom the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with, if he knew that woman was a sinner, he wouldn't let that woman touch him. Those were the ones that gathered around Jesus. Those are the ones that he welcomed, that he sought out. Not only welcomed, but he looked for them. He went and found them. He went where they were. And the children loved to be with him. Praise God. And so if you want to understand holiness, you got to look at Jesus. And you got to look at the way he lived and the way he spoke and the way he loved his Father and the way he wanted to please his Father. One time my friend Bowie Curry was running with a man named Brother Blomberg. I don't know why I remember these names. Bowie and Blomberg. How can you forget those? And they were jogging together. Brother Blomberg was a Bible school teacher at East Texas Bible College, where Brother Gray was the dean, and Bowie was one of the students there. And as they were jogging, Bowie said to him, "Brother Blomberg, I don't get this. You mean Jesus never displeased or disobeyed his father in any way?" And he said, Blomberg stopped jogging. And he said, "Bowie, if Jesus would have done anything to displease his father, it would have broken his heart. It would have broken his heart to do anything to displease his father." That's holiness. It's such a love for your heavenly father that it would break your heart to know that you displeased him. You've done that sometimes in our human relationships. Oh, we feel so bad because we hurt somebody that we love. We didn't mean to. They took it the wrong way. And that troubles us. And we want to make that right. We want to explain that we didn't mean it that way and whatever. If we don't love somebody, it doesn't matter so much to us whether we hurt them or not. But holiness is full of love. It's not separate from love. It emanates from love, from loving God and He loving us. Okay, that was my introduction. And now my little talk's going to be shorter than my introduction, I'm sure. Praise God. I said Hebrews 1, right? Praise God. Here we have a beautiful picture of Jesus, and it mentions something of His holiness here that we need to consider. There are two sides to every coin. You realize that? Two sides. Sometimes I hear a preacher, and he's preaching so strong about something, and it just seems unbalanced. And you say, you know, yeah, there's two sides to that. Well, you got to give the preacher a little break. I mean, he can't preach both sides every time. Come next week, and maybe he'll preach the other side and balance things out. You know, we judge ministries by one sermon we hear, and where that's really not fair, and we don't really get a balanced understanding of really what they believe and what they're preaching. You have to be under the ministry for a while and then, you know, put it all together and see whether it's lopsided or whether it's going up straight, right? Praise God. Well, there's two sides to holiness too, and we'll consider that. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1. We can read through this chapter, and the verse that I'm looking for is right there in the middle. But let's read alternately. Those that have the King James Version, read verse 1. And those that have the NIV, please read verse 2. And we'll go back and forth that way. We've done that before. It's doable, and it's fun. And as you're hearing them read a different translation, and you're following in your translation, it's helpful back and forth. But I wouldn't want to do that every week. Okay, so King James, Hebrews 1:1, and then NIV, verse 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and whom He made the universe, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee," and again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And of the angels He saith, "Who maketh his spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." But about the Son He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness of your kingdom." Right. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He also says, In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Verse 8. But about the Son, he says, Thy throne, O God. Here he refers to the Son as God. You'll have people knocking on your door. They're nice people, but they're a little confused. I told them once, if I gave up what I have to accept what you offer, that'd be a big step backwards. I know I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus is God. He lives in my heart. He's ministered to me and filled me with His Spirit. And you want me to give all that up and throw away my Christmas tree on top of it. No way. Here, there's many places in the Bible that speak of the deity of Christ. If Jesus wasn't God, you wouldn't be saved and neither would I. It took God Himself to bring about our salvation. And not just that God appointed the right person, God Himself had to come down and do it. And He did it in the person of Jesus Christ, and we thank God for that. Praise God. Well, anyway, as we go on, it says here, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, eternal throne. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In the book of Romans, it tells us the kingdom of God is characterized by three things. Righteousness, what are the other two? Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I suppose He meant there, and especially His righteousness. Some people seek peace, and some people want joy, but they don't want righteousness. And you don't get peace and joy without righteousness. You've got to be made right with God, first of all, in order for the peace of God that passes understanding to fill your heart and mind. And to know the joy of the Lord, you've got to be filled with the righteousness of Christ. And so the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on and says, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Praise God. And of course, this is speaking of Jesus. He's quoting from the Psalms. And he says this about Christ. You have the oil of joy above your companions. God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. I don't know about these artists that paint pictures of Jesus and make him look so sad all the time, because that's not the Jesus that I read about in the Bible. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and I'm sure that was expressed by him. But the thing that seemed to characterize Jesus was the joy that resulted from his holiness. If you seek holiness, God will fill your life with the joy of the Lord. If you seek happiness, well, you might not find it. We want to be happy. God wants us to be holy. And when we're holy, then we're happy. And so is the Lord. And so it's right to to seek the holiness of God. And he helps us here. He says, ask God to help you to love righteousness. God, help me to love, to live in a way that honors you and pleases you. Help me to love your righteousness. I don't have any of my own, but I can seek the righteousness of Jesus. I can be covered with his righteousness, and then his righteousness can express itself through my life. And then he goes on and he says, and you hated iniquity. We might love righteousness, but we don't hate iniquity enough. Maybe we don't do either sufficiently. I'm sure we can love righteousness more than we do, but God also wants us to hate iniquity. You know, God hates sin. He knows. He looked at the human race that he created, mankind in his own image. When God created the world, everything was perfect. It was a paradise. And then sin entered in. And it's interesting when you read in the book of Genesis how sin entered into the human race through the temptation there in the garden. And then you continue to read the story. What are the things that start cropping up now that were never there before? They were ashamed because they were naked and they hid themselves from God. That never happened before. And then it talks about the jealousy that got into Cain and the anger that caused him to rise up and murder his brother and then disrespect God and his response. Am I my brother's keeper? And he lied to the Lord. And then as you go on, violence begins to fill the earth and God had to send the flood and start again with Noah. But it history repeated itself and look where we are today. God hates sin. He sees what it does to his creation. He sees what it does to one another. He sees the pain and the heartache that it brings into lives, the lives that he loves. And so Jesus loved righteousness. He understood that's what God intended for us and how he intended for a man made in his image to live in this world and to reflect his glory. And Jesus hated iniquity. He knew what was behind it. He knew the devastation that it brought into lives, how it tore apart families and took lives and so on, and made people miserable when God wanted them to live in this life united to him and fulfilled and joyful and being a blessing one to another. And because you loved righteousness and you hated iniquity, you had the anointing of joy upon your life above all your companions. Praise God. That's real joy. You know, the joy that we seek is... I read something in a comment, I don't remember which book it was, just recently, and they used the term, the joy of the world and that idiotic laughter. Idiotic laughter. I thought that was rather descriptive. But that's really pretty much what it amounts to. You know, we live in Canarsie, the people have a lot of parties during the summer. The other night I had to get up at 11 o'clock at night with my family and go sleep at my in-laws because we couldn't get any sleep. Oh, we closed the windows, but the vibrations kept vibrating me off the bed, practically. So we went over to Woodhaven and said, well, it's better to get there late and sleep a little bit than to stay up all night. But, you know, you hear people, and sometimes it's so pitiful. You know, they have to have a party every week because their life is so empty. And what do they do at those parties? They drink, they dance, they talk about nonsense. They laugh at that idiotic laughter sometimes that you hear. Sometimes it's just a pitiful, empty laughter. And, you know, when we hear that, we try to not get upset about it. We try to pray for them. Pray for the people of Canarsie. They're so empty, so many of them. Oh, they sound like they're having a great time, but it's so hollow. But the joy of the Lord, oh, that's rich, that's deep. That's strengthening. Praise God. And so I want to learn more about that, and I'm sure you do too. Praise God. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Praise God. May God give us a real love for righteousness. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He doesn't just impose things on you. But he says, let me get inside you. I'll change your heart. I'll give you a love for righteousness that you'll want to live that way. And I'll give you a hatred for sin and you won't want to live that way. And then I'll enable you to fulfill, and I'll fill you with a joy that this world can't give and this world can't take away. Praise God. Let's sing To Be Like Jesus, To Be Like Jesus. We'll stand together. All I ask to be like him, so meek and lowly and so humble and holy. All I ask is to be like him. We'll sing that twice. And then I'll ask our brother Dale if you'll pray with us yet. Then we'll be dismissed. Three flats.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask. To be like him. So meek and lowly. So humble and holy. All I ask. To be like him. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask. To be like him. So meek and lowly. So humble and holy. All I
Dear Savior, we thank you that you offer this holiness, the holiness, beautiful and meek, that shining holiness of Jesus, that perfection of love, that perfection of beauty, pleasing the Father at all times. You offer that to flood our lives, Lord. Oh, we know that you live deep inside us, and we want you to come forth, Lord. Come forth right to the very surface, Lord. We know there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and we confess that we don't have our full share of that as would please you, Lord. And Lord, we have these interior crookedness, this iniquity. Lord, we thank you that you can straighten all that out, and you can come forth. You can reign as Lord and reign as King. And we're thanking you so much for all the work that you're doing here these days, Lord. We thank you in last night's meeting how you gave the enemy a setback, how you shook the foundations of the resistance of the enemy against the work of God. And Lord, we just pray that you'll further that work today, complete it, destroy the foundations of the enemy. And we ask you to bring in that flood that you desire, opening the windows of heaven over us and pouring out that blessed spirit of holiness here. Thank you, dear Jesus. Now support and guide us throughout this day as we walk in you.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Thank you.
God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Amen.